How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. God is good. God is good. And all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good. It is written, God is good. And the Bible says the scriptures cannot be broken. It is written, God is good. Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. That's why we must come to God by faith, because sometimes God does things that seem to us as unfair. But the Bible says everything he does is righteous. And so we serve a God who cannot do anything wrong. In the world at large, in the wider universe, or in your personal life, God will never do anything wrong in your life. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Here am I, here is God. We have to walk together. Someone has to change his thinking in order that they might walk together. And God does not need to change anything about himself. So I have to change that I might walk with God. I love God. How many of you love God? Can I see your hand? God bless you. You know, God loves to be told, I love you. Not simply wives and girlfriends. God loves to be told, I love you. Of course, the best way to say I love you, how? By obedience. If ye love me, finish the verse. Where is that found? John 14:15. Happy Sabbath, everyone. God is good. And all the time. I'm very grateful to God for this high honor. It really is. To be the one chosen by him through your instrumentality to break the bread of life to you. It is a tremendous honor, and I thank God for it. And my commitment to God is to do my very best to suppress self and to allow God to be glorified through the presentation of truth. I have told God I will present, thus saith the Lord, and keep my opinions to myself. The truth sometimes hurt. If that is what happens, take the pain, because that's the kind of pain that brings healing. Can you say amen? But I will not water down God's truth in order to make you smile. Ellen White writes, never bring the truth down to a low level in order to obtain converts, but seek to bring the sinful and corrupted up to the high standard of the law of God. Never bring the truth down, bring people up. Can you say amen? That's Evangelism, page 137, paragraph 2. Our subject for this morning, power on parade. What did I say? Power on parade. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the honor of calling you Father. Father in heaven, we don't deserve your blessings, but we need them. And so as I bow in your presence, dear God, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, forgive me if I've offended you, whether by thought, word, deed, omission, or commission. Father, you know my condition. I am clay. I am weak. I'm a sinner, dear God. But I love to speak for you. Use me, Father, for your glory alone and for the blessing of your people. I ask that your Spirit of truth will guide me and also guide those listening, that and in his role as the Spirit of truth, he may guide us as one family in the path of truth, which is the path of life, which is the path of victory. Post angels around this place, dear God, that we may worship without disturbance from the kingdom of darkness. Bless not only us, but all your children listening via the internet, wherever they are. Bless them, dear God. And through the ministry of your Spirit, unite all our hearts as one, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Power on parade. Go to John chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. John chapter 5, reading from verse 1. John was the closest disciple to Christ. So when you read the Gospel of John, you're reading an account of the life of Christ written by the man who was closest to him. No wonder John is different from the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are called the Synoptic Gospels because they tend to see things alike. Synoptic means to see alike. John is absolutely different, not contradictory, just different. And so John 5, reading from verse 1, our subject, power on parade. After this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. What does the word say? Whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew he had been a long time in that case. 38 years in this condition. And Jesus meets him now in the 38th year of his suffering. How long have you been suffering? How long have you been wrestling with a certain condition in your life? Has it been 38 years? Perhaps just 8. And that's too long when you're suffering. Any suffering is too long. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been now a long time in that case or that condition, the merciful Jesus saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13 verse 8, is the same yesterday, come on, today, come on, and forever. Which means that if Christ can ask that man, wilt thou be made whole, he looks at your condition and mine, and he's asking us right now. Do you want your condition changed? Do you want your circumstances changed? Christ is asking you, wilt thou be made whole? Listen to the impotent man. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have what? No man. Have you ever been in a condition where there is no human being to help you? Not a friend, not a relative. You feel all alone. You have no man, no woman to come to your aid. The man said to Christ, sir, I have no man. But he was standing in front of God. Can you say amen? He had no man, but God came to him. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step is down before me. I applied for a job. The other person got it. I applied for a loan. The other person got it. I was attracted to a young girl. Another man got her. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me who can move more quickly, who was aided by someone else. There's always someone ahead of me getting the blessings I thought were mine. My sister is always ahead of me. My brother is always ahead of me. When will my turn come? While I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. A man who had not walked 38 years. Now, he could have said, wait a minute, sir, it's been a long time. Let me try to move a toe, then a foot, maybe an ankle. Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Our theme is the power of God. What's our subject? Power on parade. Now, the Bible says, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is a day of rest. If I'm right, say amen. But you see, God, even though the Bible says God rested, God cannot get tired. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. God cannot get tired, because being tired supposes a depletion of energy. So you've run a marathon. At the end of the marathon, you need to collapse, get some water. You have used up energy. You need to replenish energy with some liquid form of electrolytes. Not God. So God doesn't rest. God just stops. This was the Sabbath day. And God healed that man. There are some forms of work that God does on the Sabbath. One of them is to turn your circumstances around. God will never tell you, wait until the sun sets, because I'm resting. When God sees suffering, God acts. Ellen White tells us God hates to see suffering. That's why when Jesus Christ walked this earth, every person who came to him, he healed every single person. Why? He does not like to see suffering. What makes you think he has changed in 2018? God does not like your suffering. And when it comes to working to change our conditions, there is no such thing as Sabbath. God works 7 days a week to change lives. And so the Bible says, and on the same day was the Sabbath. 38 years, the man was sick. And we have a demonstration of power. I don't care, and that may sound a little harsh. It matters not to me how long you have been in your present circumstance. 6 years without a job, you've been applying. You've been failing the same exam 5 consecutive times. If you will allow Christ and you'll obey him, Christ will change your circumstance, because the power of God is able to overcome any earthly circumstance. There is no condition that Christ cannot reverse, and I mean absolutely reverse. Let's look at that. Matthew 12, let's read from verse 22. Our subject, power on parade. The only person qualified to show off is God. Not us, just God. That's why he loves all the glory. Matthew 12, we'll read from verse 22. Gospel number 1, written by a man who was a publican. He collected taxes, so most likely he was a thief. But if you're a thief and you allow Christ to touch your life, he will change you completely. Paul was a murderer. he met Christ, he changed completely. That is the power of God. Matthew 12, reading from verse 22, let me say another prayer. Loving Father in heaven, as I continue with the message, Power on Parade, tighten your grip on my mind, dear God. Continue to empty me of self so that not one shred is left. Your glory is my business, dear Father. Help me to lift you up through the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew 12, verse 22, the Bible says, Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Stop. Let's read that passage microscopically. Then was brought unto him one, what's the next word? Possessed. There is a difference between possessed by the devil and bothered by the devil. Jesus Christ was bothered by the devil. He was not, tell me the word, possessed. Listen to me carefully. I don't know what your cultures are, but let me tell you this, regardless of culture, the devil cannot possess a child of God. I don't care whether you're in the Solomon Islands, Fiji, Vanuatu, PNG, you name them, Tonga, Samoa, whatever. The devil cannot possess a child of God. He can bother you. He can harass you like a mosquito. He cannot possess your life because your life belongs to God. I say again, he molested Jesus. He harassed Christ. He harassed the disciples. He could not possess the disciples. Other, of course, than Judas. You know who Judas was. He could not possess Christ. He cannot possess a child of God. This man was possessed. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. His blindness and his dumbness was the condition of being possessed. Now listen to how the verse goes on. And he did what? Healed him. Healed him of what? Finish the verse. So that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Name the two conditions the man had. Blind, dumb. And thanks. I was trying to be tricky, but she was ahead of me. He was also possessed. He had three conditions. Blind, dumb, but why was he blind and dumb? Because, finish my words, he was possessed. Listen to me carefully. This is just a possibility. Some of us are in our condition. Notice I said it's a possibility. Some of us may be in the condition we're in. Finish my words. Because we're possessed. Now you say, wait a minute. All possessed people don't fall on the ground and foam at the mouth and have their eyes roll back into their heads. Listen to the words of Ellen White. I think it's Great Controversy, page 509, paragraph 102. Great Controversy, 509, paragraph 102. Many a man of cultured intellect and pleasing manners who would not stoop to what is ordinarily regarded as an immoral act is but a polished instrument in the hands of Satan. I'll ask you a question. Let's take the man who was in the temple or any possessed person Jesus met. And let's take some people who were not obviously possessed. And you tell me who was more possessed. Here are the high priest and the priest telling Pilate, kill God. Are you with me? Crucify God. Pilate says, here's Barabbas. Here is Jesus. I find no fault in him. Whom do you want? They said, give us Barabbas. Kill God. Now you tell me, that is demon possession. Without falling on the ground, foaming at the mouth, or your eyes rolling back in your head. There is no higher form of demon possession than for a man or a woman to say, kill God. Let me say it again with respect. It could be, I say, it could be, the possibility exists that some of us are in the condition we're in because we are possessed. God is not number one in the life. Every soul who refuses to give himself to God is under the control of another power. He's not his own. Satan takes control of every mind that is not decidedly under the control of the Holy Spirit. Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1, page 13, paragraph 3. Satan takes possession of every mind that is not decidedly under the control of the Spirit of God. And then we suffer the consequences. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him. Of what did he heal him? The blindness, the dumbness, finish my words, and the possession. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now, follow me. He was blind and dumb. When Christ healed him, what happened? He saw and he spoke. You tell me. Blind, see, dumb, speak. What are those two groups? Opposites. Can God turn your situation around 180 degrees? You tell me yes or no. Yes. He was blind. He saw. Opposite. He was dumb. He spoke. Opposite. He was possessed. He was delivered. Opposite. That is the power of God. That is the power of Christ. Now, can you believe that Jesus Christ can do that for you? You see, that kind of faith, that is the faith of Jesus that goes along with the commandments of God. Here is the patience of the saints. Here they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus is this relentless belief in Christ that he can absolutely, completely, fully turn my life around. There's a saying in the field of addiction, people are always recovering alcoholics. I was listening to an actor, he died in 1984, called Richard Burton. And he was fighting alcoholism, and he had gotten some victory. He said, I'm always fighting that demon. So he considered himself an alcoholic who has gotten a break. Jesus Christ can deliver you so completely that your condition never comes back to harass you. That's the faith of Jesus. Absolutely, fully, without reservation, change your circumstance. It is remarkable that we as human beings, we decide what God can do and he cannot do. So we say, God cannot fix my condition. Well, if that's what we say, that's what God does. Did I tell you sometime yesterday, you read the Bible, be it unto thee according to thy faith. Are you following me? Now, if your faith tells you God cannot fix your condition, God will honor that. Because if you bring to God a thimble, you know what a thimble is, ladies? Yes, of course. A thimble, or let's say a teacup of faith, God will fill that teacup. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone else, your neighbor, brings a bathtub of faith, God will fill that bathtub. He filled both. But your neighbor can literally swim in her blessings. You can barely put your fingertip in yours. Let me say it again, differently. Do not tell God what he cannot do in your life. A God who can conquer death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan can change your circumstances. If you're listening and you're hearing me, say amen. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? When God works that transformation, your family members will be astonished. That's the man who used to beat his wife. That's my son who never went to school in drugs. Now he's a local elder. That's my daughter who would not listen to running around with this man and that man. Now she's Sabbath school superintendent. She's in nursing school about to graduate. What happened? The power of God, our theme. Do you not understand that changing lives is God's speciality? There are some people who specialize in, you know, hand surgery, foot surgery, heart surgery, whatever. There are specialties in medicine. There are specialties in other fields. There are electric engineers. There are civil engineers. There are mechanical engineers. There are whatever. But God's specialty is changing lives. God's specialty is defeating the devil on the battlefield of your life and mine. That's his specialty. One of the devil's specialty is to deceive you into believing your situation can never change. The Bible says, therefore, timekeeper, what time is it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you finish the verse, he's a new creation or creature. Old things, come on, are passed away. Come on. Behold, all things have become new now. When it says all things are passed, it doesn't mean if I accept Christ, I go from being a black man to a white man. No, that's not what it means. Use your common sense. Are you with me? It means the spiritual condition. Whatever made me a child of the devil, that's gone. All things become new. I'm now a child of heaven. My desires, my tastes, my interests, my passions are differently directed and from a different origin. God can do that. It is such a powerful work, no one can explain it but God. And so Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, I believe it's verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, let the power of God parade in your life. What God did for the man who was sick 38 years, God can do for you. What God did for others, he can do for you. The man possessed by a devil, blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him of blindness, healed him of dumbness, healed him of possession. Let's look at one more man. Go with me to John 9. We'll read from verse 1. John 9, reading from verse 1. And as I speak, I want you to bring to mind your condition and ask yourself, can God do this for me? And tell yourself yes. On the authority of God's word, God can do this for me. God wants to do it. He is standing by to change your life. God does not improve people. God transforms people. You don't need God to improve your life. You can decide to stop smoking all by yourself. You can decide to stop hitting your wife. You cannot decide to change your nature. Only God can do that. John 9, reading from verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Ooh. Now the man at the pool of Bethesda was in that condition 38 years. He might have been, let's say he was 60, and for 22 years he was fine, and then 38 years later he's a... But this man, not a boy, a man, blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his family, that he was born blind? Is this a generational curse? I get emails all the time from people about generational curses. Am I suffering because of what my grandfather did? Possibly. When Daniel prayed in Daniel 9, he said, we have sinned, but he hadn't sinned. He was confessing the sins of his ancestors. When Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah 1, he said, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, thy statutes, nor thy judgment." Nehemiah was confessing the sins of his ancestors, and he took them as his and he confessed them. You think you're under generational curse? You claim the sins of your ancestors as yours. Take them to God and repent and see what God does in your life. Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in his life," or in him. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay with the spittle and put the clay on the eyes of the blind man and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He therefore went his way and washed. Finish the verse. And came seeing. He was blind from birth. Which means that condition was probably genetic. I say probably. Now, a genetic condition is as serious as a condition can get. God can change it. There are some Christians who do not believe God can cure cancer. They do not believe God can make a lame man walk. They do not believe God can restore sight. We say, well, God does not do that anymore. In Desire of Ages, page 823, paragraph 4, Ellen White writes, "He's just as willing to heal the sick today as when he was personally on the earth." In that same paragraph, The Desire of Ages, page 823, paragraph 4, she writes these words, "Christ feels the woes of every sufferer." Whatever you're suffering, Christ feels it because he's still human. Listen to me carefully. Whatever you are suffering, because Christ is still human, while he is God, he feels it literally. And anyone who feels pain wants the pain removed. Christ doesn't like pain. When Christ removes your suffering, he is relieved of some pain. You didn't hear what I said. He wants you better for your sake, but also when you're better and your suffering goes, his suffering is relieved. Because the servant of the Lord tells us, Christ feels the woes of every sufferer. Listen carefully. When evil spirits rend the human frame, Christ feels the curse. So he felt the condition of that demon-possessed man. When fever is burning up the life current, he feels the agony. When you have a fever, Jesus Christ feels. And then she goes on to say, he is just as willing to heal now as when he was personally on the earth. But the most powerful healing Christ performed is not healing people of leprosy and cancer and blindness. It is healing from the sickness of sin. Because sin is the cause of every problem in our lives. Whether it is our sins or the sins of this world at large, sin is the reason for suffering in this life. I say, whether it's your sin and mine or just living in a world of sin. And so when Jesus Christ deals with the problem of sin in our life, he is going to the root of the problem and not just putting a band-aid on a cut. Today, God can put his power on parade in your life. There is no need for you and for me to suffer as we do. Now, let me say quickly, on occasion, God allows some trials in our lives to test us. But let me tell you something. Most of the trials in our lives are not sent by God. We bring them on ourselves. There's a lady spoke to me once complaining about her husband. I said, what's the problem with your husband? Well, he's not an Adventist. He doesn't come to church. I said, did you know that when you married him? Yes. Were you counseled not to marry him out of the church? Yes. Did your parents counsel you not to do that? Yes. Did the church counsel you not to do that? Yes. Why did you do it? I wanted to do it. Because I loved it. Now she's in love suffering. And so I said, what do you want me to do? She brought it, finish my words, on herself. A friend of mine came to me, Pastor, I want to talk to you. Okay, yes, let's talk. What's the problem? My husband takes my little boy to play soccer on Sabbath. So, oh, that's not nice. Why would your husband, a good Seventh-day Adventist, do that? She said, he is not a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, oh, I see. When you married him, were you a Seventh-day Adventist? Yes. Did you know he wasn't? Yes. Why did you marry him? I wanted a man. Well, you got one. Is that son yours and his? Yes. He has a perfect right to take your boy to play soccer on Sabbath because your husband is not a Seventh-day Adventist and you knew that when you married him. She brought it on herself. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Some people decide, well, I can take a drink on my birthday, not knowing they have a genetic predisposition to addiction, to alcohol. Now this man is in the third or fourth rehabilitation program trying to conquer alcoholism. Why? He brought it on himself. Here's a young man. He looks at a magazine picture of a half-naked woman and he says, this doesn't bother me. I can look at it, not realizing every image you look at stays in your brain and affects your brain. Now he's trying to break away from pornography. We bring things on ourselves. Here is another person who does not like the church and decides to stay home and go to church via the internet. And after a while, with this one person worship, the person just loses all interest and leaves the church. Why? He or she brought it on themselves. My brothers and sisters, yes, trials will come to the child of God, but if all of us, all we had were trials, who would want to join? Most of our problems we bring on ourselves. But there is a God who is wooing and courting us and calling us, come to me. And if you've had this condition 38 years, I will reverse it. If you're possessed, I will release you of demon possession. If you're blind, I will give you sight. If you're lame, I will give you agility. Whatever your condition is, especially sin, I will deliver you, says Christ. That's why I came. To deliver. Let me say it again. Christ came to deliver, not to hurt. And so this morning, at 25 minutes to 1, what is it? Half past 12. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Someone needs a change in his or her life. Now, as human beings, we are specialists in putting on a front of calmness, confidence, composure, smoothness, where there is a volcanic eruption beneath that surface. There's a mudslide disaster in the life beneath that surface. Jesus sees beneath the surface. And he wants to fix it. Listen to me. He wants to fix it. Believe that. And he's calling you today. Bring that situation to me. But as possession was the reason for blindness and dumbness, Possession may be the reason for your condition and mine. Now, all we have to do is give ourselves to Christ. You know, Matthew 12, let's go back to Matthew 12, where that man was delivered from blindness and dumbness, and see what Jesus wants to do for you. Matthew 12, let's read from verse 22 quickly, and then I'll close. Power on parade. No one needs to live a life of suffering unless God has called you to be Job in the 21st century. Let's pray again. Father in heaven, I'm coming to the close, but don't close the work of the Spirit in me and in your people. Continue to use me, Father. Continue to open the eyes of those who are listening. Please do that, dear God. If I've offended you in any way, forgive me, Father. Use me as you see fit. I will not resist you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Then was brought unto him, Matthew 12, 22, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now 28. But if I cast out devils by what? The Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now listen to 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house? That strong man is Satan. His house is the world. How can one, that one is Christ, enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? The word spoil means to take away. The goods there are sinners. Except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Jesus is that stronger man alone who can bind the strong man, Satan. Because when Satan has you, he does not let you go. He lets you go to church, but he doesn't let you go. You didn't hear what I said. The devil will let you go to church. That's not the same thing as letting you go, because he goes with you. The Bible tells us Satan does not let his... Let's go read it for yourselves. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Our subject, Power on Parade. We're coming to the close. Power on Parade, Isaiah 14. You know that passage quite well. We read from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now read 16 with me. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made what? The earth to tremble, that they do what? Shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. Finish 17. That opened not the house of his prisoners. When the devil has you, he does not let you go. You must be taken from him by force. And that force is the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You must be taken by force. And who exerts that force? Jesus Christ, at your invitation. And so when that publican in Luke 18 said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, in that instant, Jesus exercised his power to deliver that man from the prison of the devil. Today, Jesus is waiting for someone to say, Father, send your son to get me. I am tired being in the world. Send Jesus to get me. I am trapped by the devil. I cannot break out. He will not release me. I give Christ legal permission by accepting his sacrifice. Come and get me and deliver me from satanic possession. Deliver me from this addiction to lying. Deliver me from pornography. Deliver me from the internet. Deliver me from whatever it is. Deliver me, thank God, because every form of addiction is simply a cell in the prison of the devil. He will deliver you. So he says to you right now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Finish the verse. I will. That's a promise. And the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Coming to Jesus is the easiest thing in the world. You come right here. You don't have to move. If you're a wheelchair, you come to Jesus. If you're tied to a stake, you come to Jesus, because you don't have to move physically. Jesus moved first, because the Bible says, behold, I stand where? At the door. Now, if Christ stayed in heaven and he said, come to me, you have a long distance to travel. But he traveled first. In his humanity, Christ has come to us, and he stands right at the door. The only reason he is not inside the door is because he needs invitation. And so to knock at your door, someone must stand at your door, not stand in heaven. Behold, I stand at the door right now and knock. Can you hear the knocking by faith? If any man hear my voice, and you're hearing it now, and open the door, I will come in. And when Christ comes in, according to the law of spiritual physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. As Jesus comes in, you tell me what I'm about to say. Satan goes out, because Satan and Christ cannot sit in the same seat. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, the word man is generic. Any man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, educated, uneducated, rich, poor, connected, not connected, homeless, with a home, half-starved, well-fed. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Would you like Christ to come in today, right where you are? Yes or no? Stand with me. Then I have another call to make. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, when a man such as I, made of dirt, preaches a sermon, it is not a perfect work. And so I ask you, God, forgive me where I was weak in my presentation, where I let you down. Forgive me. But Father, you know my heart. It was to glorify you and to let those whom you love know that victory is right outside the door. Now, dear God, let the spirit of liberty move upon hearts now as I make this appeal under the direction of the same spirit. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed reverently, don't look around to see who will respond. I'm talking to you one-on-one. If there's a condition you're in you want God to reverse, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. If you are in a condition you want God to turn the condition around, come. Don't look around, just come. You are in a condition, you want God to turn it around, come. Man was blind and dumb, he saw and he spoke. You are in a situation, you want God to turn it around. You want God to deliver you from the imprisonment of the devil. You want a change in your life that can only be explained by divine intervention. Come. Father, I'm in a condition, I need a change. Please, God, I need a change. I cannot change it myself. I confess my helplessness, and I look to you. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he heard that three armies were coming to attack Judah. Three! Jehoshaphat prayed with all the people at the temple, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, here is what Jehoshaphat said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat said, we have no power against this enemy. My brothers and sisters, you and I have no power against the devil. All we have is Jesus. And Jesus conquered death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan. Let me say that again. When you call on Christ, you're calling on someone who has conquered all the enemies of heaven, death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan. Every time Christ and Satan met, Satan lost, and he can lose in your life if you trust the conqueror, Jesus Christ. Anyone else? There is a condition in my life, I need it changed. Come, then I'll pray. I need it changed. Come. No one likes suffering. No one loves misery. Christ can change it. And Christ can give you power to deal with it so that that power causes you to see it no longer as the big problem it was. Come and let Jesus change your circumstance. Come. The problem is not so much your circumstance. The problem is lack of faith. We just do not believe Christ can change this or that. This mountain is too high. This problem has been with me too long. What can God do? God can do anything He wants. He just wants faith. Anyone else before I pray? There's a circumstance in my life. I want it changed. God, please. I have suffered a long time. I want it changed, Father, please. And the change begins with acknowledging you have a need and then calling on Jesus Christ. And so he says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And when I pray, you must pray in your heart and you tell God, you promised to give me rest and you cannot lie. Please, God, as I recommit my life to you, make sure your life is in God's hands. Then God has the legal right to deal with the devil. Make sure, I say again, your life belongs to God completely. It is only then that God has the legal right to resist the devil on your behalf. As long as you're partially God and partially the devil's, God has no legal right to defend you. God bless you, sister. Come. Christians must never be comfortable with suffering, whether in their lives or the lives of others. I give you 60 seconds, then I pray. Father, I need to be delivered from a situation. I need a change in my life. And I begin by surrendering my life to you completely, Father. I give you permission to act on my behalf. Christ will move immediately. That's why he died. Act on my behalf, dear God, because I have not been able to do anything. How can a human being handle the devil? No one can, not even Gabriel. Jesus Christ can do it. Testimonies, volume 1, page 341, paragraph 1. God alone can limit the power of Satan. Testimony, volume 5, page 448, paragraph 2. Jesus can limit the power of Satan. Evangelism, page 617, paragraph 2. The prince of the power of darkness can only be held in check by the power of God in the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Only the Godhead can control Satan. Call on Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we've come to you in simple, childlike faith. We've come to say there are conditions in our life, circumstances that have made us cry at night, cry during the day. We've asked people to pray for us. We have suffered quietly. We've suffered publicly. Dear God, we want relief. In Exodus 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, And I've heard the cry by reason of the oppression, for I know their sorrows. You know what we're suffering from. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. Come down now, dear God, and begin that work of deliverance. You have heard the cries of your people. You said you know their sorrows, Father. You do not lie. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, please come and deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. Bring them up out of that land into a good land, Father. Give them the rest you promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, and they have come, all ye that labor and they have burdens, and I will give you rest. Give them that rest. Doesn't mean they have no challenges, but the rest is based on the confidence that with you at the head of their lives, all things are possible. Father, bind the devil. Cast him out of their lives. Cast him out of mine if he's harassing me, God. Deliver us from the harassment of the devil. And if there's someone possessed, Father, you cast that spirit out, that the person may be yours, because by the death of Christ, every soul is legally yours. Please, God, deliver us from suffering. Change our circumstance, Father, so that our smooth outside may correspond to the peace on the inside. Hear this humble prayer, Father. Have mercy on us, God. The Bible says you delight in mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103 verse 8. Demonstrate that now, Father. Wrap your arms around us. Put a sign on us, the possession of heaven. Rebuke the enemy. Cast him far from us, dear God. Let today be the beginning of a change in our lives, a change that will be evident to those who see us. We give you the glory, dear God. And more, the way we can say thanks to you is to glorify you in our lives by living obedient lives. And for those who have circumstances that need to be changed but did not have the courage to come, Father, in mercy, continue to speak to their hearts, dear God, that they may finally surrender the foot of the cross. Because at the foot of the cross, the devil has no power. Please, God, help us to recommit ourselves to you every morning we wake and we see that we're still alive. Let's recommit the life to you, because a life given to you cannot be possessed by the enemy. Now, as we leave this altar, let us leave believing the work of deliverance has begun. Please, God, increase our faith. Deliver us. Save us when you come, I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, amen and amen. Do you know the hymn, Sing Them Over Again to Me, Wonderful Words of Life? Let's sing stanza one. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. These are words of life. The devil has no power against this. Studied and obeyed. I give you one quotation that I pray. Counsels on Sabbath school work. Study the word of God and practice it. It is your life. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let all God's people say, amen. And amen. God bless you. Let Christ stay on your mind as we go through the rest of the day.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM, There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.